number one sports site in the world.
Live from the Click and Loan studios of the Yahoo Sports Radio headquarters. You know what they say.
You know what they say. See a broad to get that booty act. Leg it down. Smack him. Jack
him. Oh, next time is the right time. You know the it's Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio.
If we die, we die together.
And YahooSportsRadio.com.
Tony D with you.
Getting interactive. Recapping everything that's going down.
And giving you your first chance to react. Nighttime on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Yahoo Sports Radio.
Is now.
This is what we do. From the Click and Loan studios, here's Tony D.
Thanks for joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio. The Golden State Warriors just continue to roll again. 128-103 over the Phoenix Suns tonight. So they come back from a seven-game road trip. And let me tell you, you hang around NBA teams enough, you always know that once you get home, even if you're home for a couple of days and you settle into a home routine, that first game back is usually a tough one. Even though you may be recharged with your batteries and you've had a couple of days to process the trip, it's hard to come right back home and get rolling. No. Not for this Golden State Warriors team as they crushed Phoenix, rolled along. At one point, Steph Curry and Klay Thompson were outscoring the Suns by themselves. It was that much of a roll. And you know what? Milwaukee, who got that win on Saturday, watch Friday's game. Friday, Milwaukee goes to Oakland. I wonder if Golden State, who loves to have this idea that we're playing with a chip on our shoulder and nobody believed in us even when we won the championship and people said we had it too easy on our way to the finals. Oh, God. I wonder if they'll just open up the ABA playbook and put up like 150 on Milwaukee on Friday. I just wonder, because that's the image that they're presenting, right? That we've got to roll through everybody because nobody believes in us, even though everybody really believes in them now. People want to talk about this upcoming game on Christmas against LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers. I'm sorry. I saw six games of that last year. That's not the game I'm interested in at all. I will watch it because I like Christmas Day basketball, but I am not looking ahead to Christmas Day when the mighty Cleveland Cavaliers show up to Oakland. Like I said, I saw six games of this last year in June. You know what game I'm looking forward to the most? And I gotta wait for it, and I can't believe I've gotta wait this long for it. The game I'm waiting for the most is January 25th when they take on the San Antonio Spurs. Because the Spurs are throttling everybody and they're giving up no points. They've got the best scoring defense in the NBA, and they've got the best margin point differential in the NBA. So, you know what? Take your Cleveland game, enjoy it, but don't yell and scream when it's a rerun of what you saw a couple of months ago. But give me the game we didn't get to get in the postseason, and that's the San Antonio Spurs 1 month from Christmas Day. That's the game I'm looking forward to. Do I think Golden State is going to be rolling along at 40-1 by the time they reach that mark? No, I don't. I think they're going to lose a few games along the line. Heck, I don't even know if they'll lose to the Cleveland Cavaliers on Christmas Day. And I don't care. I don't care if they have four losses, three losses, one loss, five losses. I don't care. The San Antonio Spurs is the matchup I want to see with this Golden State Warriors team. Because like we talk about in the NFL, whenever we have a good offense against a good defense, this is the same thing in the National Basketball Association. And I want to see it on January 25th. Can't wait. But if you were thinking that there was going to be some sort of home drop-off, and we've seen it many times, that was not the case tonight for the Golden State Warriors. They just crushed the Phoenix Suns. What, and you know what? They're going to roll. They got Milwaukee, Utah, Cleveland, Sacramento on this homestand.
What do you think the odds are that Popovich actually plays the entire Spurs team that night, though?
Better. No, hold on. He better, because
I would put money down that the entire Spurs team does not play.
Somebody won't play. That's true. Somebody won't play. But Popovich, I think Popovich gets this one. I think Popovich will get this one. Because we talked about this yesterday when he made a few jabs at the three-pointer, and people who know Popovich were dissecting that as saying, that's not grouchy Greg Popovich. That's Greg Popovich making a point without making the big point, which is, look at all the fun Golden State's having rolling through teams. They're a great three-point shooting team. But you know what? I don't like the three-point shot. I don't think it's good basketball. And it's a sly, subtle way of maybe jabbing at Golden State. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. I don't cover Greg Popovich on a daily basis, so I don't know. But I think he would get this. I think he would get that. Now, I hope he doesn't. Now, the key to this, and let me check the Spurs schedule real quick. Because if this game is a back-to-back situation for San Antonio, if this game comes at an odd time for the Spurs, then you might be right. He does not play everybody. But I hope he does, because the way San Antonio is playing right now, they don't. In fact, they have the entire weekend off. It's a brief three-game road trip for the Spurs. They'll play Friday against the Lakers, and then Monday they'll play Golden State. That's the game I can't wait to see. And maybe I hope he puts everybody off in the Laker game on Friday, and then has a nice weekend in the Bay Area to get everybody geared up to play Golden State. I hope so, because that's the one I want. Listen, don't get me wrong. Christmas Day is going to be fun. You know, anytime you put LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers against a team like Golden State, we should really enjoy it. But I saw six games of this last year. That's not the game I want. I would have loved to have seen last year's Spurs team play Golden State in the playoffs. I don't know if the Spurs win that series, but I would have liked to see it. So I'll see it January 25th, and Greg Popovich, you better comply. 800-777-2907. You want to get involved into the conversation tonight. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Zach Miller is going to join us from Wisconsin. We're going to talk to him about Bo Ryan, who announced his retirement suddenly yesterday. It came as a surprise, but I think a day later, when people think about the circumstances around why he announced his sudden retirement, I think it becomes less and less a surprise. We'll talk to him about that at the bottom of the hour. But the question I have coming up is, did he let his team down by walking away? And how shrewd of a move was this for Bo Ryan? We'll explore both of those questions next. It's Tony D here on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Okay, the most dominant force in NBA reporting, our very own Woj. Adrian Wojnarowski has debuted his new podcast from Yahoo Sports, The Vertical Podcast with Woj, now available on iTunes and on the NBA page at yahoosports.com. Woj's debut guest, NBA Commissioner Adam Silver, and a major announcement for his new site coming in 2016. Check it out only from Yahoo Sports. All right, so Bo Ryan announced his surprise retirement announcement yesterday. Zach Miller joins us bottom of the hour 16 minutes from now. We're going to break it down with him from BadgerBlitz.com. So Bo Ryan announced his immediate retirement. Not tomorrow, not after breakfast, now. It came as a surprise initially, but I think when everybody sort of calmed down and sort of thought about it and processed what exactly was going on, they realized, all right, this was kind of coming. He had announced that he was going to retire at the end of the year and then kind of backed off on it a little bit. But you got the sense that the end was coming for Bo Ryan. You know, again, it either is going to come at the end of the year or it was going to come at some time during the season. Now, know this. This is a similar situation, but not similar circumstances to what Steve Spurrier did at South Carolina. Remember when South Carolina lost to LSU, Spurrier just went, that's it, I'm done, and Sean Elliott going to be taking over the Gamecocks, I'm finished. And what Steve Spurrier really meant to say was, his team stinks, and I can't get them to play any harder, and this is embarrassing for me and my legacy to be losing games like this on a daily basis, and South Carolina no good, and I can't help them, and I'm out. Bo Ryan was not doing the exact same thing. Now, I was very critical of Steve Spurrier for walking out. Now, I have to admit, a lot of that came from just personal jilt, because he is the coach of my college team. So you have to take that with a grain of salt. I try to be as unbiased as I possibly can on this show, but sometimes the passion creeps into the things I care about. And I care about South Carolina football a lot. If I didn't marry a Florida Gator, I'd probably be less inclined to care. But ever since I met and married my wife, I have been more into the success of my school's football team than I ever have previously. But a lot of it is just because I'm jealous of the team or her team's success. But Bo Ryan wasn't doing exactly what Steve Spurrier was doing, even though the situation was the same. I walked out during the middle of the season. I announced my retirement effective immediately. I am not waiting until the end of the season. I am not finishing this thing out. You will have a new coach tomorrow because I am no longer the coach of this basketball team, just like Spurrier was no longer the head coach of the football team. But the circumstances are a little different because while Spurrier certainly would have liked to see Sean Elliott become the head coach of the South Carolina Gamecocks, it was not the main reason Spurrier quit being the head coach at South Carolina. He said in a letter that the reason that he was not coaching South Carolina or decided to quit was because he felt that he was becoming a hindrance to the program, that he needed fresh blood in there, and they needed to know that they were going to go in a different direction. I think he was very happy that Sean Elliott got the job, and he knew Sean Elliott would get the job, but I think Spurrier's decision to walk away from South Carolina was because, in the end, he didn't have it anymore, the team wasn't responding, and he did feel that they needed a fresh voice. Bo Ryan did this because he really does want Greg Gard to be the head coach, and he wants him to take over this Wisconsin team, and this is the best way for him to take over that team. He is essentially awarding a longtime assistant by removing himself from the situation. Now, Greg Gard had a family issue. He had a death in the family. His father had passed away. He was dealing with that. That kind of allowed Bo Ryan to start the season while that he took care of that and get the Wisconsin season underway, and then looked at the calendar and said, we're going into winter break. This would be a great time to break away from all this. This would be the best time to hand this over to you. Now, I asked the question, did he hurt his players? Now, I don't know about this, because I think if you have, and again, I was very upset with Spurrier walking away and quitting on his team, but I do have to acknowledge, taking away the emotion of that moment for me, I have to acknowledge that sometimes when your heart's not into it, or sometimes when you just don't want to do something anymore, it's better if you just don't do it. If you really don't want to be in a particular place, don't do it. I mean, look. And this is not in any relation to Bo Ryan or Steve Spurrier, but you know, you ever have a friend of yours that just hates his job and he just complains about it over and over and over and over and over again? And sometimes you go, hey, you know what, man, why don't you just quit? And they go, oh, I can't quit. I go, all right, well, I still think you should quit. If you're really, really, if your heart's not really into it, you should walk away. I think Bo Ryan completely calculated this to a point where it was actually brilliant on his part. He is setting Wisconsin up this year exactly the way he wants Wisconsin set up this year. And that is not him at the helm. It's Greg Gard at the helm. He really wants this to happen. And he got it to happen. Now, my only question, and again, Zach Miller from Zach Miller from BadgerBlitz.com will join us coming up in about 10 minutes. And I'm going to ask him about, how does Barry Alvarez view this, the athletic director? Because that's the other thing about this Bo Ryan retirement that's really shrewd when you think about it. He's not going over Barry Alvarez's head, but he has done something that forced Barry Alvarez's hand. Greg Gard may have not been the Wisconsin Badger choice if Bo Ryan had finished out the season. If he made it to the end, it's not that Greg Gard may not have gotten a shot at the head coaching job. But instead, Bo Ryan does something that's a little bit shrewd and calculating, and it forces Barry Alvarez to go into a Big Ten season with Greg Gard as the head coach of the Wisconsin Badgers. And maybe that's what Barry Alvarez wants, but it also may be something that he doesn't want. I don't know. That's the calculation of Bo Ryan. It reminds me when I was in college and I needed quarters for the laundry. And I remember I went into a Circle K across the street from my dorm, and I asked the guy behind the counter if I could have change for a dollar. And I needed like 50 cents. And the guy behind the counter said, no, we don't give change without a purchase. So I bought one piece of bazooka gum and gave him the dollar. Now, I had just asked for change. He said he wasn't going to give me change. I bought one piece of 5 cent gum and forced him to give me 95 cents back. And the guy looked like he was ready to kill me because he saw me as just calculating. Kind of reminds me of that, like here, like, oh, Greg Gard might not get the head coaching job if I retire at the end of the season. Oh, you know what? I'm done. Oh, what do you do? My assistant gets the job, right? Fine. Yes, Bo. Your assistant gets the job. And so Greg Gard gets to be the head coach of Wisconsin, gets to build a resume, gets to try to do something spectacular enough that maybe the Wisconsin fans say, hey, that's the guy we want, Barry. So before you go around looking at different people, before you start perusing the college basketball world for some big names at some big name programs, the guy we want was the guy Bo Ryan wanted this whole time. And we saw it this season. That's the move. Now, Spurrier, I got to be honest with you. I don't think Spurrier's decision to walk away from South Carolina was that shrewd. I don't think it was that shrewd. I think it was 100% personal. In fact, most of Spurrier's letter about wanting to walk away for the good of the program, I think was a lot of it was just coach speak and just a little bit of pandering. But I think for the most part, I think Spurrier was, I'm just tired and this team's not responding. That's the way I saw it. With this, I saw it completely different. I saw what Bo Ryan was trying to do. I did not see it as quitting. I didn't see it as walking away. And the other thing too, Bo Ryan had retirement on the table. Remember that. He had retirement on the table. Spurrier never had retirement on the table. But Bo Ryan did. So if you went to Wisconsin, if you decided to become a Wisconsin Badger this year, and you are a true freshman, you knew that you weren't getting much Bo Ryan. All right, Zach Miller, again, will join us at the bottom of the hour. Rivals.com, Badger Blitch, on this whole situation at Wisconsin. And listen, he changed the whole culture of Badger basketball. I mean, you want to talk about a guy that is synonymous with all the success the program's had, and what it was before he got there, and what it will be going forward, is everything to do with Bo Ryan. We'll have Zach Miller coming up next. And then later on in this hour, Mike Pettine says Russell Wilson isn't something. I'll tell you what that is next. Tony D, Yahoo Sports Radio. Follow us on Twitter at Tony D Radio and on Facebook, Tony D Radio Show, Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
It's Tony D here on the nighttime Yahoo Sports Radio. And yesterday we were talking about how Bo Ryan announced his retirement effective immediately from Wisconsin. And it was surprised a lot of people. Well, how surprising was this to the people who cover Wisconsin and know Bo very, very well and around the program? That's why we bring in Zach Miller. He's from BadgerBlitz.com, part of the Rivals.com network. And he joins us here on Yahoo Sports Radio. How are you, Zach?
Hey, good. Thanks for having me.
In the process of hearing the announcement and the process of knowing all the news and tidbits of news that you were able to digest over the last couple of weeks about Bo and maybe some of the things he said or body language, in the end, how surprising was this announcement?
Well, it's not really surprising now looking back on it. I mean, hindsight is 20/20 after all. So you think about the timing of this, it's right at the end of the first semester of the season. So players have this long break. He gives Greg Gard some time to really digest what happened and kind of get himself acclimated to the role of being interim head coach. So it's not surprising, the timing of it. And also when you're looking at it just from the course of the events over the past 6 months or whatever it's been, at the beginning of the summer when Bo Ryan announced that this would be his last season, and then kind of at the end of the summer he said maybe it's not going to be the end of the season. I don't really know what I'm doing. Bo Ryan's not the type of guy to say something and put out a statement like he did at the beginning of the summer if he didn't know full and well that he would not last past the end of this season. And now when you're looking at the season as a whole and how the Badgers are playing, not really up to par. And I'm not saying that he quit out on the team because they're not national championship contenders or anything like that. But if he really wants Greg Gard to be the guy and to have the opportunity to prove himself, well, it only makes sense to kind of force Barry Alvarez's hand here and really throw Greg Gard in there so that he has the opportunity to force himself. Because who's to say that if the Badgers finished, I don't know, with a losing record in the Big Ten and finished maybe an eighth or ninth in the conference, that no one would really give Greg Gard the opportunity to try and be the head coach and prove himself. So at least this way, Bo Ryan assures that his right-hand man for the past 23 seasons gets a shot to prove his worth. So it's not all surprising when you look at it as a whole like that. And also there were some times after games where the Badgers just, to be honest, did not play too well. And Bo Ryan looked at the positives of it. And yes, he's always looking at teaching moments, but he seemed more positive, especially over the past couple of weeks in terms of, you know, it's a young group, lot to learn. And so when you're looking at it like that, it only makes sense now where we're sitting today.
It sounds like he's trying to force Barry Alvarez's hand here. Is that, I would assume, is not going to go very well with Barry Alvarez. Am I right?
Well, there's no contention between Bo Ryan and Barry Alvarez. The two of them get along very well, and that's not a story here. So yes, he's kind of forcing his hand, but it's not like he's saying I don't want you to have the ability to go out and look for another coach. I just want you to know how much I value this guy and how much I respect him and believe that he's the right man for the job. And it's almost like I'm trying to help you out, Barry, so that maybe you're not going out on a limb. And maybe if Gard doesn't end up being a good coach, then, hey, look, Barry, I saved you a couple seasons, a big contract that you would have given Gard had he simply been an associate head coach all season. And then Barry went on just Bo's word that Gard would be good. So now it kind of works both ways. If Gard works out well for the remainder of the season, then it proves that Bo is right, and Barry now can trust not just Bo's word, but he has a body of work to go off of from Gard. And if it doesn't work out, then there's nothing that Barry did wrong. He'll look for another coach and find someone else and not have to waste a couple seasons.
Is there a possibility here? I'm probably sure there is, but I'll give you an example. I remember when West Virginia won the Fiesta Bowl with their football team, won the Fiesta Bowl, and they hired Bill Stewart kind of on the spot as kind of a, you took this team and you got this bowl win. If Greg Gard turns this around and Wisconsin is playing better, would Barry Alvarez still go, yeah, but I have a chance to go get anybody I want. I could go get Tony Bennett if I want. I can't turn that opportunity down.
Well, I would be shocked if Tony Bennett ends up in red and white next season. I mean, his buyout alone is more than what Bo Ryan made last season. So Wisconsin is not going to be willing to spend $3 million for essentially a plane ticket for Bennett to get here. So I don't think that's going to happen. And he's doing well in Virginia, and that's a great spot for him. But yeah, there is the possibility that Barry doesn't buy the body of work that Gard could turn in and say he makes the NCAA tournament and they win a game or two. It would be very tough for Barry to reason looking elsewhere. What he could do and what would be a nice happy medium is say, okay, Gard, you've done a great job this half of the year. Let me see what you can do with a full season. Let me see what you can do with an off season. Let me see what you can do with maybe one or two recruits, because keep in mind that Wisconsin has two open spots for the 2016 class, and that's not even including if someone like a Nigel Hayes or Bronson Koenig would go pro. We obviously don't know that yet, but those two guys leaving, or even one of those two guys, would open up an extra spot. So maybe Barry could say, look, I'm going to give you the opportunity to do a full season. Let's try this year by year and see how it goes. Let's see what you can do with a full year to fully prepare yourself to be the best of your ability.
There is comparisons between the way Bo Ryan left and the way Steve Spurrier at South Carolina left. Middle of the season, kind of no warning, and kind of handing the team off to somebody else. And the initial reaction from people, from some people is, you have an obligation to your recruits and your players. Does Bo Ryan get a little bit of a pass here? Because he did say at the end of the season it would probably be his last.
I think he gets a pass for taking this team to two Final Fours and 14 consecutive NCAA tournaments. I don't think there's anything Bo Ryan could have done wrong.
Well, I don't mean to interrupt you, Zach, but Steve Spurrier is the winningest coach at South Carolina, and he did not get excused from that angle. Your past accomplishments does not mean that the freshman that signed up to play at Wisconsin is okay with your coach just leaving 10 games into the season.
Right, and I think the difference is that Spurrier, if I remember correctly, left because he felt like he was a burden to the team, and just it appeared like he just didn't want to do it anymore. Bo Ryan let it be known that this was going to be his last season, and even if this wasn't, that this was not going to continue on very much longer. I don't think if you were to ask Ethan Happ to place even a dollar on Bo Ryan finishing out Ethan Happ's career that has four seasons left, I don't think Happ would do that. He's a smart kid. They're all smart. They know that Bo Ryan was not going to last for very much longer. Now, in terms of recruits, I think this is actually a good thing for the recruiting process, because it does provide some clarity for guys who they're trying to get into the system. I know that there have been three or four guys for the 2016 class that they tried to get in here who went elsewhere because they just simply didn't know what was going to go on with Bo Ryan. Now, for the 2016 class, it doesn't change anything because now you don't know what's going to happen with Greg Gard. But for guys who are in 2017 or 2018 class, what you can do is you can say, look, I like what Greg Gard is doing here. I'm willing to verbally commit to the Wisconsin program. And if for some reason Gard does not end up keeping the job, then I still have a year of flexibility and I can go elsewhere. So I think for the 2017 and beyond classes, this really does help the Badgers in terms of recruiting. And talking to assistant coaches today, it seemed like they had just a lot of energy and they were really going to attack the 2017 class, especially with a lot of force and a lot of effort. So I don't think you can view this as Bo Ryan really ditching out on the team. I don't think anyone has any bad wishes anything poorly upon Bo Ryan. They love what he did and they totally respect his decision because they know that he was close to maybe just hanging it up at the end of last season and not even coming back for the first 6 months of this year. So they're looking at it as, look, we had an extra 6 months with Bo Ryan as opposed to we missed out on the final 6 months with Bo Ryan. Yeah. And those are two totally different things.
Yeah, absolutely. Because with Spurrier, it came out of nowhere. This at least had some sort of feeling like, well, wasn't he going to be leaving in a few months anyway? Zach, in terms of what you were saying earlier about Bo Ryan and what he's meant to the Wisconsin program, I don't think people realize what he was able to accomplish at that program, what the program was like. Give us an idea of what he has meant to Wisconsin basketball, what basketball was like in Wisconsin for the years that he wasn't there.
Well, I mean, this season would be a great season before Bo Ryan showed up. I mean, to have six wins in the middle of December would have been great in the pre-Bo Ryan era. I mean, obviously, they did go to two Final Fours, and they won their only national championship before Bo Ryan got there. But now we're going back to the 1940s, so that's kind of splitting hairs here. But look, he took the team to 14 consecutive NCAA tournaments. He won nine championships, seven Big Ten titles, if you include stuff that he shared. He's the winningest coach in program history. It just goes on and on and on. And the most impressive thing, and people keep saying this stat, and it's probably the most well-known stat about Bo Ryan, but when you actually think about it, it's absurd. He's never finished lower than fourth in the Big Ten. And he's not a guy to have all these big-time recruits when you're going up against big-time programs like Ohio State, Michigan State, all these other teams who do get one-and-dones, guys who are at the top of the NBA right now. So it's really a testament to how good of a coach he was. That is weird to say, using it in past tense right now. But he was unbelievable for this, not just this Wisconsin program, but it's a statewide thing, because anytime you had state schools, other schools like a UW Green Bay, UW Platteville, UW Riverside come into the Kohl Center, the first thing the opposing coach would say after getting beat by 35, 40 points, whatever it was, wow, what an amazing experience for our guys to be able to come in here to the Kohl Center and play. And we have nothing but gratitude for Coach Ryan for allowing us the opportunity. So it was really a statewide thing. And he was beloved all across the state, except for maybe in the areas of Marquette.
Oh, I'm sure there's a lot of Al McGuire versus Bo Ryan conversations going on in terms of legacy.
You know, I'm not well versed enough in that legacy
okay.
discussion to get into that. But no, people love what Bill Ryan did, and he's going to be talked about for a while now, and I have a feeling that he raised the level of expectations to such great heights that these next few years may be a little painful for some Badger fans.
And as you know, once you cross that threshold, it is very hard to go back. You have a fan base now that's sort of accustomed to something. It's very difficult to go, yeah, well, we're not trying to go back that far, but expectations are still high. Zach, I really appreciate your time tonight. Thank you as always.
Thank you so much. Always a pleasure.
You got it. Wisconsin, again, Bo Ryan announcing his retirement. Again, BadgerBlitz.com is the website, part of the Rivals.com network. All right, 800-777-2907. And we were saying this yesterday. When Steve Spurrier announced he was quitting, I was very critical of that move. But with Bo Ryan, one of my first reactions when I heard it was, well, I kind of thought he was retiring anyway, just cut it a little shorter than normal. So to me, I think if you were a recruit and you went into Wisconsin, you kind of knew what this was. I don't think in South Carolina, I think kids kind of knew at South Carolina, look, he's not going to coach till he's 80, right? But they probably thought they were going to get a couple more years with him, and instead he walked out. I think if you were a freshman at Wisconsin, you knew Bo Ryan was not going to be staying. And like he pointed out, Bo Ryan was not going to stay. So I think he avoids some of the criticism that came Spurrier's way when people said, hey, you're just quitting. You're just bailing now. The going got tough and you ran out the door. This was a lot different. There's a lot more story to this in terms of being leaving because you kind of said that you were going to be leaving. Leaving at the time because you want to give a longtime assistant, Greg Gard, a chance to become a head coach and a chance to take over the program and a chance to build a resume so that he could one day be the head coach of Wisconsin. And if it's not Wisconsin, then maybe somewhere else because he was able to get his assistant to cross that line of into the head coaching world where it leads to other head coaching jobs. So I think there was some calculation here. I think this was the way Bo Ryan wanted to set this up. And I think this is one of the reasons why those two stories, Spurrier and Bo Ryan, are kind of different. 800-777-2907. It is Tony D here on the Nighttime on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Well, our thanks to Zach Miller, Wisconsin. Oh, how much am I looking forward to Sunday's game between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Denver Broncos? Good Lord, that's going to be good. You know, every week we go over the games of the weekend. These are the games you should watch. These are the games you probably shouldn't. This is one of the best games of the year. Steelers with their offense against the Broncos defense that could get them to the Super Bowl despite all of this jibber jabber about the quarterback situation. Oh, it's good. It's really good. Yeah, it's funny. I'm the biggest hypocrite in the world because 99% of the time, if I have a team that has a stellar offense going up against a team that has a stellar defense, I take the defensive team all the time. That is a true sign that I was raised as a young Steeler fan back in the day with the steel curtain. I was just defensively oriented. And the Steelers forever and ever were defensively oriented. Sure, you know, they would have pretty good offenses with, you know, Bubby Brister, you know, the year they went to the playoffs in the late 80s and Merrill Hodge was running the ball. And then they kind of moved on with Neil O'Donnell and they flung it around a little bit and Cordell Stewart with Slash and all that other stuff. But they were primarily strong defenses. And now they have one of the best offenses in the league. And I've got to be like, yeah, well, that's the key, really. Like, the offense is really what you got to have. A good defense going up against good offense, the offense wins every time. It's completely against everything I've believed since the day I got into this thing. So, unfortunately, I'm a little nervous because I think the Denver Broncos, defense is absolutely Super Bowl worthy. I really, really can't stress this enough. Because if you think about it, the offense is going to be problematic for them. But if they can just figure out a way to make it not problematic, like, I don't know, find a guy who can run the ball or an offensive line that can block, then their defense is going to lead the way and they're going to be a force to reckon with. But if the offense is slow and stagnant, they're going to be no defense isn't going to be out that much. All right, so Mike Pettine, head coach of the Cleveland Browns, who I have a problem with, but that's a secondary story, was asked if Russell Wilson was a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. Now, let me repeat the question, because I think it's key. He was asked if Russell Wilson was a top 10 quarterback. Here's how Mike Pettine responded.
He plays at a high level. He's very productive. And they win. A lot of that, I think, is a function too of he's the perfect quarterback for what they do. Would you put him up there with the guys that can transcend their supporting cast? You know, the Bradys, whether it's, you know, Aaron Rodgers, Breeze, Roethlisberger, the ones that you would consider the 2, 3, 4 elite guys. But no, he certainly played himself into that next tier.
I don't know how he answered that question. Instead of saying yes. Can we do something? Can we stop comparing every quarterback to Tom Brady? Can we stop? Do we really need the caveat? Is he Tom Brady? No, he's not Tom Brady. Do we need that caveat every single time? So he's asked if Russell Wilson is a top 10 quarterback, and he kind of bounces around this answer. Okay, Mike Pettine can answer this question any way he wants. We all have opinions. Some of us are just absolutely wrong, but everybody's got an opinion. But here's my problem. The question wasn't, is Russell Wilson one of the top three quarterbacks in the league? The question wasn't, is Russell Wilson a top five quarterback? Oh, and you know what? It wasn't even if Russell Wilson is a top six quarterback. It was a top 10 quarterback question. How in the world is that answer not yes? How is the answer not immediately yes? I mean, is Russell Wilson the best quarterback in the NFL? No. Is he the best two quarterbacks in the NFL? No. Is he best three? No. But he's easily in the top 10. Stop this. Look, again, Mike Pettine answered this the way I like, okay? Look, can we all be honest? If Bill Belichick was asked this, how would Bill Belichick answer this question?
Well, I have to say that he's doing a good job, and we're on to the Steelers.
Like, that's how he would answer that question. Just mumble his way through to some sort of next game that's on the line. Whatever. Look ahead. At least Pettine kind of bounced around a little bit. He plays at a high level. Well, that's obvious. He's very productive, and they win. Yeah, he went to 2 Super Bowls. A lot of that, I think, is a function, too, of him being the perfect quarterback for what they do. Is that... Are you calling him a system quarterback? Because I think you're calling him a system quarterback. To me, it goes both ways. They also have to build it around him. Okay, maybe you're not calling him a system quarterback, but I still think you called him a system quarterback. Would you put him up there with the guys that can transcend their sporting cast? Oh, well, you're changing the question. I didn't ask that. But go ahead. Tell me more. The Bradys, Aaron Rodgers, Breeze, Roethlisbergers, the ones that, you know, you would consider 2, 3, 4 elite guys. But no, he certainly played himself into that next tier. Okay, so he's not in the top 5, but he's in the next tier. So is the next tier the top 10? And if it is in the top 10, why didn't he just say he was in the top 10? Mike Pettine, well done. Well done. Good answer. In one big statement, he said he's not the elite quarterback of the league. He's a system quarterback, kind of. And, oh, by the way, yeah, he's probably a top 10. But I'm not sure. Good answer, Mike Pettine. Well done. Yahoo Sports Radio.